He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, after a three-day weekend, the Tuesday edition of the Best Stocks Now show on this January 20th, 2026. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I've got a new hashtag. Here we go again. HWGA. Tariff talk, tough tariff talk, this time over Greenland, of all things. And it does have the market not reeling, but it is getting hit pretty hard here today. You've got the Dow down 676 points right now, which puts it at 48,682. The NASDAQ is taking it the hardest. It's down 380. That's 1.6%. The S&P 500 is down 96, that's minus 1.4%. Again, I think you can thank or attribute this to the tough tariff talk, which is reminiscent of last year around this time, actually early spring of this time. But look at the bright side of this. If you're an investor in gold, holy cow, it is soaring today. We have several large positions in gold, and that is helping us. It's been the ultimate hedge against tariffs. It's helping us a lot today. Gold is up 3.2% to 4,743. The other story today, the 10-year. The 10-year is at 4.29%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, and it's we'll call it the Here We Go Again edition. And I will say this, I was expecting the worst when I opened up our portfolios today, and actually we were just down 30 basis points, 33 basis points, because of the huge move in the precious metals today once again. And actually, there were several tech stocks. Micron, with the unprecedented shortage in memory, Micron's up 4.4% today. And there's a couple of rare earth stocks, too, that are roaring today. So we have some outsized moves to talk about today in the market. You know what? Another hashtag, Barry, would be never a dull moment. NADM, never a dull moment. Maybe we'd add WT to that. With Trump. With Trump in office, there is never a dull moment, it would seem, on a daily basis. And I'm sure, you know, that works against him and it works for him. I think it works against him a little more than it works for him. I think a lot of people would just like a nice, steady, predictable world with very little change. But, you know, Trump is one for dramatics. And right now it all involves an island by the name of Greenland. Is it fair to say, Barry, that the big jump in interest rates today, we're at 4.28 as there's a big sell-off in the bond market. I think it's because several European countries have threatened to stop buying. That's the weapon they have against us, the leverage they have against us. Well, we're going to stop buying U.S. Treasuries. Do you think that's what's causing this big jump in rates today, Barry?
Yeah, no, it's interesting because in these kind of issues, right, you have what we refer to as a flight to safety, right? Normally that flight to safety is U.S. Treasuries or other, you know, large government, quality government U.S. Bonds around the globe. And today, you're having a sell-off across the board in terms of global bond sell-off, and you're seeing the only real safe haven, right, gold. And that's, you know, this is really, like I said, this is saw an announcement where I think a Danish pension fund is planning to sell their U.S. treasuries. And so, you know, rates are a function, just like stock prices, you know, interest rates are a function of supply and demand. As you know, supply goes up and demand goes down, well, then interest rates go up. In this case, you know, you kind of, you know, if you've got more supply with countries potentially selling bonds.
Bond market today, and that's driving interest rates. We haven't seen 4.28 in quite some time. So all of the efforts of the Fed, lowering rates, the efforts of Bessent, we've had a nice rally in the bond market. Last year, I think the IEF, Treasury ETF was up 6.8% overall. That's one of the a better year for bonds that we've had in quite some time. But this is rocking. And, of course, you know, when Trump threatens with the leverage that we have with the tariffs, they threaten right back with tariffs of their own. And the bond market seems to be Europe's biggest piece of leverage against the U.S. They are very much against us taking any kind of... Now, you know, I've heard that Denmark is willing to work with us, allow more bases there, allow more drilling, mining, etc. That seems to me the approach that he ought to take instead of being this big dramatic... comes across as being bully-like. We're going to take over Greenland, even if it takes force. That's not playing well on the world stage. It's not playing well here at home, even though the intent is good, the critical minerals, the strategic location of Greenland, the interest that Russia and China have in that neck of the woods. A very foreboding neck of the woods, even when they show the most populated city of Nuuk. It's always got snow, I guess, year-round. Does it ever melt? I don't think so.
Well, the thing is the you got to remember, I think it, you know, the world's round. And so I saw some interesting maps this weekend just of, you know, air bases, say, in Russia, right, closest way to, you know, say, to get to Washington, D.C. or any else in the U.S. is over the North Pole.
Absolutely.
You know, we think of a map. I keep thinking of the going back to playing Risk with my dad, and Greenland being one of those countries or territories right on the map. And, of course, in that map, it's flat.
So yeah, good old Arlo Guthrie, son of Woody, had a song coming into London from over the pole, flying in a big jetliner. The chickens flying everywhere around the plane. Could it ever be much finer? But anyways, he was coming over the pole from Los Angeles, coming in from Los Angeles. I don't know if it works out geographically, the song, but that was the song. we kind of ended the week. If you remember last Friday, we kind of drifted lower throughout the day as the Greenland rhetoric ramped up. Over the weekend, it really ramped up. Yesterday, it really ramped up. Bessent was on one of the big news shows on Sunday talking about it. France has sent troops to Greenland. Denmark has sent more troops to Greenland. And amidst it all, you know what? Look, this stuff smooths out. You can't take today and say, oh, I'm going to get out of the market. This is another crisis that we'll never get through. No, it smooths out. In fact, he's headed to Davos, Switzerland. He hasn't gone there in a long time. That's the World Economic Forum, who was very much anti-Trump. Now he's going, and I think he's going to cut some kind of a deal while he's there, and I would not be surprised to see him leave with things kind of smoothed over and worked out and some kind of deal made in this whole Greenland fight, which it seems like kind of a ridiculous thing that to upset the entire world and the economy and our allies and NATO. They're threatening to break up NATO over this. You know, when he first said, I thought he was just kind of kidding. But then he sent his son, he sent a contingent. Charlie Kirk was on that trip to Greenland. They spent a few days in Nuuk, ate at some of the restaurants there, stayed in the finer hotels. I wrote the article about Greenland 2 weeks ago in the newsletter. I called it the Greenland Edition, everything you need to know about Greenland if you want to visit. And
Northern Lights picture. You had a good picture of the Northern Lights on there.
Yes, the beautiful Northern Lights. You know, it'd be a kind of fun to go there sometime. Trump is setting to impose tariffs on 8 European countries over Greenland, and they're fighting back. He's especially after France If you love your French wines, Trump floats a 200% tariff on French wines over Macron's refusal to join the Board of Peace, which is a board he's putting together to bring permanent peace to the Middle East and Israel. The intentions are good. And the threats, you know, you just have to say the guy is all about leverage. If you've got leverage, that's the art of the deal. Use the leverage for all it's worth, and even though it's pretty dramatic to begin with, it eventually smooths out because people realize that the leverage could hurt them. It's just, hey, what can I say? Never a dull moment. The stock market moves on. Wedbush has advice on how to handle this latest one. I agree with them. And in the meantime, the ultimate hedge we'll talk about when we come back has been precious metals. And it's helping us a lot today, having that big position in a couple of gold stocks and in gold itself in our portfolios. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now Show. And, of course, on a day like today, it's going to be your highest P.E. ratio, your winners in the market, AI, getting hit the hardest, especially with the big jump in. I didn't expect the big jump in interest rates today. You know, I think we were at 4.19 or something on Friday. Now, all of a sudden, here we're at 4.28. That's a huge jump. And, Barry, I would say this, if you're looking at any bonds to add to our bond portfolio, today's a good day.
Because
bond prices are down.
I've been sorting some out there. So,
let's jump on something today.
Yeah.
Just look at that portfolio we read last week that Trump owns. He owns some pretty good bonds, actually. Pick a couple and buy them while they're cheap.
He had a couple that we owned, a couple of names.
He's not a bad bond picker. Okay, EU said to weigh $93 billion in tariffs on U.S. in response to Trump's Greenland threat. Now, they're all getting together this week. He's on his way to Switzerland, to Davos. Another foreboding. It's always snowy and cold there, but they all gather there at the World Economic Forum. Hopefully, they'll come back with some kind of a deal worked out. I hope Bessent's going. He seems to be the guy that's pretty level-headed. Greenland will take the spotlight this year at Davos. Klaus Schwab, you know, Klaus Schwab ended up getting in quite a bit of trouble. I don't know how much clout he carries anymore over there at the World. But at one time, you know, he was everything from the Antichrist to the Great Reset to all kinds of different stories swirling around Klaus Schwab. I never did like the guy myself. But it's Davos, and they love going there every year this time of year. Denmark sends additional troops. I don't know that they can stave off Hegseth and his bunch, but I doubt that we're going to invade Greenland. But you never know. Like I say, never a dull moment. Gold breaks above 4,700. Silver pushes past 95. I think we're going to see $100 on silver. And I think we're going to see 5,000 on gold. I mean, when Trump came into office, we should have just bought gold and silver and sat back and watched. That would have been the best investment. Luckily, we did do some big purchases along the way, you know, in that premier growth portfolio, which is the premier stocks in the world today. One of them is Barrick Gold. B, symbol B, and that certainly has helped us here, and it's done very well as it continues to hit new highs.
We even have a 5% bond, 5% gold position in the bond portfolio.
That's exactly right. We bought gold in the bond portfolio as a hedge, which, you know, is that's why they call them hedge funds, right? You want something in there that counters the risk of a portfolio from time to time. Okay, lost in all of this, we are moving headlong into earnings season. Today we're going to get earnings from Netflix, which has really struggled. The market does not like the fact that they're buying Time Warner.
Right.
One of the most disastrous companies of all time. They bought AOL right at the top. They incurred all kinds of debt. They have all kinds of competition in the streaming world. People aren't buying their sets of classic hits from the 60s anymore because everything's online and digital. But they're buying Time Warner, and Netflix has been a terrible stock here for the last several months, let's call it. We're also going to get earnings. We already have from 3M. There's other things going on in Minneapolis besides just the ICE raids and the protest. 3M reported earnings today. Tomorrow we're going to get Johnson & Johnson, my favorite stock. On Thursday we're going to get GE earnings. Those are big. Procter & Gamble, Intel, Abbott Labs, CSX. On Friday we're going to get Schlumberger, which has new life. They call it SLB now. All right, I'm not supposed to say Schlumberger. I remember a guy I worked with, he called it Schlumberger. I knew it wasn't Schlumberger. That's what you get at In-N-Out. They have a Schlumberger with mustard sauce. But anyways, they're going to report on Friday. In the meantime, our friend Torsten Schlock, who I like over there at Paulo, he says that stocks are near their highest valuation since 1880. Now, I know he's been an analyst for a long time, Barry, but I didn't know he was around in 1880. Maybe he's our Methuselah. That's the highest levels. He says the valuations are the highest levels in 145 years. Now, I disagree with him on that. I usually agree with Torsten Schlock. I'm comparing every week, Torsten. Every Saturday, I'm comparing today's valuations with 2020, which was coming out of the COVID year, or 2021, and I'm going back to 2000. I was managing money during 2000. I witnessed the 79% sell-off in the NASDAQ, 79%. I'm glad I witnessed it. It was not a lot of fun, and there was a lot of fallout from that, and a lot of the people I worked with were gone forever from the business. A lot of the people I called on up in the Bay Area, the financial center of the West, a lot of them were tech investors and momentum investors, and they were just gone and out of business forever. But I'm glad I witnessed it because it really brought home to me the importance of valuation number one, and number two, having some kind of a defense. You can't just sit there like a Kathy Woods or like those guys did back then, and they rode that stuff right into the ground. By the time it's down 89%, it's way gone. You know, you got to start waking up and saying, it's down 10, it's down 15, maybe I better do something. 15 is kind of like, you know, my line in the sand, imaginary line in the sand, but a lot of times it depends on where the support level is, and there's other factors in that. But there's no excuse, unless it happens overnight, okay? Occasionally a biotech will have bad news. That's why I don't own single biotech, small ones. And the next day it's down 89%, and it's gone, it's kaput. Usually it's a pretty orderly sell-off, and, you know, if you make a mistake in a stock and all of a sudden it's down 10, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, going the wrong way, you can't just sit there and hope and pray that it turns around. You've got to have some kind of rules, even if they're not written down or cast in the stone, but some kind of rules. Limit losses, I guess. Limiting losses, I think, is very critical. And it shocks me that a money manager like Kathy Wood, I think she's a little older than I am, has
Sark
been around in the markets.
Sark's working good today. Yeah.
yes, Sark is working good today because she doesn't have any kind of a defense.
Right.
You've got to limit losses or you never recover from them. I found that out through that experience in 2000, 2001. Okay, when we come back, NVIDIA's in the news, the chips are in the news, and Micron is in the news again, and it is up today, believe it or not. We'll be right back. But I must do the wrong call. Hit us in a bad bleed.
And I wonder what's good for. I've been in a red bleed. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. NVIDIA's in the news today. It's all over that H200 chip, H200. It comes and goes. You know, some days China's buying it, some days China's not buying it. They're restricting it. Some days they're. But I read that the parts makers for it have shut down their production and cut way back on their production of the pieces. And NVIDIA, as a result, is down 2.76% today, down 2.6%. The stock is really kind of dead in the water right now. It's kind of mired in the 180 to 190 area. It's no longer a $5 trillion company. It's only $4.4 trillion. It's drifted down about $600 billion, but still a very powerful company. They have the secret recipe for now, and nobody seems to be able to figure it out. But you know, I would say this, that the semiconductor sector is what's holding the market up, really, right now. You look at the software sector has really softened, and in fact does not look good at all. But you have some other sectors. It is broadening out. The energy sector is definitely showing signs of life. And the metals, you know, there were record shipments of iron ore out of Australia by BHP. The copper stocks, the mining stocks, the gold stocks, the silver stocks. So there are other areas of the market. It does move around. It's not a fixed thing. And then there's always, always just a big area of the market that's just never moves or not moving at all. And that's why you have to be, in my opinion, somewhat active. Passive to me is the lazy man's way out, I guess you could say. I'm just going to settle for 4%, 5%, 6% a year with my massive asset allocation and own the whole world. I'm going to own the whole bond market. I'm going to own all the stock markets in the world. And I'm going to just tweak it on my age every year. On my birthday, I'll tweak it a little bit.
And you virtually have to show no emotion, by the way, because when the market's down, you know, when you're sitting in the tariff tantrum of, you know, last year and the market's down, you know, 22%, 24%, you know, what do you do, right? I mean, in that case, you'd have to just ride it out and never take any evasive action. And
there's a price to pay for that. The price to pay is opportunity cost. You're never going to have that year where you're up 25, 28, 32%, whatever the case may be. You're not going to beat the S&P 500. You're going to get very mediocre, steady results, which, frankly, you can get in a U.S. Treasury. A U.S. Treasury you can buy for the next 10 years right now and get 4.28%. And that would match the results of a lot of the asset allocation models. It would match the results of a lot of the alternative investment models, etc. You'd have a known outcome. So it's just not my cup of tea. Okay, let's go to the next story here. Of course, NVIDIA. Once again, NVIDIA's in the news a lot. It all has to do with the chips in China. It's also in the news because guess who NVIDIA is partnering with? Now, look, Kathy Woods owns a lot of the test tube biotechs that are doing the gene editing. Why not buy instead a company that has massive cash flow and is also into gene editing, like Lilly? Lilly is partnering with NVIDIA to launch an artificial intelligence co-innovation lab based in the San Francisco Bay Area with the goal of using AI to accelerate drug discovery. To me, Barry, that's a much more logical investment than buying a single stock, such as there's so many of these gene editing stocks out there. I mean, there's countless gene editing stocks, and most of them will never come up with the product. Why not invest in one that already has massive cash flow from their existing products and is also working in the gene editing field and using NVIDIA? And NVIDIA has actually is investing alongside Lilly in this collaboration. So to me, that just makes more sense than buying these little biotech stocks that more likely than not will never come up with something. CRISPR, there's just a plethora of the gene editing stocks. If you're going to buy, if you're going to dabble in that neck of the woods, I suggest, ETFs, biotech ETFs, or mutual funds, as opposed to buying single biotech. Now, the upside is, once in a while, I see there's one getting bought out today. But that doesn't happen very often. The odds of picking that one biotech that gets bought out by a big drug company, I forget who it was. Oh, RAPT, R-A-P-T Therapeutics, is getting bought out by GSK. Well, if you own a biotech ETF or a biotech mutual fund, it's likely to have RAPT in it, and you were probably not too likely to choose RAPT as your biotech stock. That's just the way I see the biotech world. Now, here's another story that's not going away, and in fact, on a day when the NASDAQ is getting clobbered, Micron is up as they say that the AI-driven memory chip shortage is unprecedented. And this isn't the first time. I mean, we've heard this from SanDisk. We've heard this from Western Digital. We've heard this from Seagate, others that are on the periphery of this. They say it's going to last beyond 2026. We talked about the plant that they're building in upstate New York, in Onondaga, New York, that will create 50,000 jobs to help, make these chips. They're also building a plant, I believe, in Taiwan, Micron is, to be close to that market also. But they're saying that the shortage has intensified over the past quarter and will extend beyond this year.
It makes sense. I mean, it makes sense when I look at what we own that's up today, right? You mentioned it at the beginning of the show. It's gold. It's miners, and it's includes rare earth, and it's
and rare
the
earth.
Storage like Western Digital.
Western Digital's up.
Micron, right? Your commoditized.
Yes.
What used to be commoditized.
And
tech company.
GEV is up about 2% too. That's GE Vernova, which is the energy arm of GE. So there are some things that are up today, and that's why, being in the right places where there's, extreme demand, I think that's what it comes down to. Over the years, I've seen this demand come into companies, whether it was Green Mountain Coffee. We scored a big win with Green Mountain Coffee because the K-Cup all of a sudden changed everything upside down, you know, from the Mr. Joe DiMaggio coffee maker and everything, and there was huge demand. And you want stocks where there's huge demand. Lilly with their obesity drug, Novo Nordisk with their obesity drug. Now that the pill is there, the demand is going to just soar. So anyways, you whatever you own, you want very strong demand for their superior products that are disrupting, you know, the rest of the category that the that they are in. Okay, let's see. What else? There's a couple others here that are... Oh, I saw there's a new player in Nuke, believe it or not. Jacobs, which is a pretty boring stock. Jacobs Engineering is, you know, an industrial, they make industrial buildings and factories and kind of low-end type stuff. Well, they've been selected by Sizewell to provide professional services for delivering a new nuclear power station on the Suffolk coast in England. So England is all in. It's a twin reactor nuclear plant expected to generate 3.2 gigawatts of electricity, powering around 6 million homes. That's been another shift here over the last 3 or 4 years, away from wind and solar and all in some cases, on nuke. And the demand for nuke, the problem with the demand is it takes a while to bring the supply to market. But in the meantime, it's a pretty solid investment because of that demanding part of the equation. We'll be right back. Segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I got to get my calendar out here, and I see two workshops in my crystal ball in February. One is February the 23rd, which is a Monday. I'll be in Scottsdale. Actually, I'll be in Sun City West. There's an investment club over there that has a very nice auditorium. They invite me just about every year. Yeah. I either do it by Zoom, or this year I'm going to do it in person because I'm going to go to a few Padre games there, leading up to that, spring training, and my favorite restaurant in America, the Mission. I like the Mission in old downtown Scottsdale or out there at Kierland. They got two of them, but here's the big one. Our first trip. Then from Phoenix, I'm flying to Houston. The crew will meet up in Houston February 25th and February 26th at the Westin Galleria. The Westin Galleria. And on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at the Westin Galleria, I will be teaching a workshop that begins at 7 p.m. And those are always full. If you want to reserve a spot to that workshop on February the 25th at 7 p.m. at the Westin Galleria, call Edie or go to our website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, or call 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. In addition to that, we are making the team available all day Wednesday and all day Thursday. We always fill those appointments. We'll have one-hour appointments available. And Edie does a masterful job of putting that schedule together.
Queen of the schedule.
Yes, it runs like clockwork.
Yeah.
She even wears a little badge so that you can recognize her when you walk into the the Westin Galleria. She greets you at the door, you know, and blah, 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 and then walks you back to the boardroom, the think tank, where we sit down and we get to know you a little bit and what your situation is, what your circumstances are, what you're looking to accomplish, what your goals are, what your risk tolerance is, what your experience has been in the market, what you currently own, what you don't currently own. Well, we try to get a lot done there, and a lot of times it's an introductory, meeting. Then we follow up with you, obviously, with plans and things like that. But it's kind of a get to know you and see if you have interest in our services and see if we have interest in having you as a client, right? And see if we meld together and are simpatico. And if you want to set up one of those appointments, they will fill up. You better call 855-611-BEST and reserve a one-hour appointment. We begin at 8 a.m. And we go till 5 p.m., 6 p.m. even. One time our last appointment was at 7 p.m.,
yeah,
I remember.
I think we had every hour filled.
So call 855-611-BEST, Edie. She is in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's where she lives. She will book you. And she's beginning now. She's got a blank worksheet to fill with those that want to meet with us in the Houston area on February, Wednesday and Thursday, February 25th and Thursday the 26th. And if there's enough, we will stay over on Friday to handle any overflow there. So I'm looking forward to that. That's our first foray into Houston. I've been to Dallas many times. And we'll be back there again now that we're back on radio in Dallas, which I'm really happy about that. That was one of my favorite visits every year. We haven't decided where we're going after Houston, but there will be a destination in March. Not quite sure. It could be Michigan. It could be Cleveland again. We're definitely going to Cleveland again this year. We're definitely going to San Jose again this year. We're definitely coming to Sarasota again this year. But we're going to kick it off on Wednesday, February 25th and 26th and the 23rd. If you're in the Arizona area, just go to Sun City West, the investment club there. They meet in this big auditorium. It's a pretty nice place. And I teach, I give my spiel there in person. Which I'll do Wednesday night at 7 p.m. in Houston. Okay, let's see, a few other things. Well, earnings season underway. We've got about 10% of the companies have reported so far. This is kind of a week on the light side, although we will get Netflix, we will get General Electric, and a few others. Next week will be very heavy. Very heavy week of earnings. And right now, I think we're pegged at about, 8% growth. 8% growth. Now, recently, by the end of the quarter, in recent earnings seasons, we have far exceeded that initial estimate. In fact, if we exceed it by the average that we've exceeded it by over the last several quarters, it could be 13 or 14% before it's all over. But right now, and that's the earnings picture. The earnings picture remains very, very good. The valuation side of the picture is a little bit on the sketchy side. But as long as those earnings keep growing, interest rates remain tame, which they're not today. We're looking the average target price for this year by the end of the year is $8,000. And we're at 6,700 right now. All right, if you'd like to get that four-week trial to the newsletter, the live trading alerts. I made a lot of buys last week. Access to the app, the Best Stocks Now app, which I use 100% for my stock selection process. Or to set up an appointment with us. You don't have to live in Houston or in Scottsdale to talk to us. We talk to people every day all over the country. set up a phone appointment with us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or go on to the website at GundersonCapital.com and sign up to get the newsletter for the next 4 weeks. That's quite a generous offer, and I love doing that. I put a lot of work into it every week. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.